supposedly, and his Bill of Rights were put in suspension. That means it was put outside of the house to hang out in the funny weather, while inside the house began creating a statutory jurisdiction. In 1935, approximately around that period of time, came into existence the Uniform Commercial Code. And shortly thereafter, there was a federal U.S. Supreme Court ruling saying that there is no federal common law. Now, everything that exists from that point on, the states began to adopt, not ratify, but adopt the Uniform Commercial Code as their modus operandi. That means the city of Santa Fe, the corporate state of California, United States in its corporate capacity.
Santa Cruz as well.
Santa Cruz, absolutely. Every city that has been incorporated, that means every church as well, is under the Uniform Commercial Codes. What does the Uniform Commercial Codes have to say about a person? A person means an artificial person, a natural person, an association, a corporation, a partnership, an agency. Are you a person? If you're not a person, then those statutes do not apply to you. That means to get to terminate the jurisdiction, the presumed lawful authority of the Uniform Commercial Code and its role that the corporate state has put on everyone. Everyone has to presume their true identity, which means that you are here spiritually as a soul and as God in your helping
time. Right now, we have a problem in America because we're going back to these old laws. The people in World War II and World War I are still in office. They're taking our rights away right now as we speak right now. They create these new rights, right-wingers, new laws, right-wing laws that Santa Cruz adopted from Houston, Texas, from Texas. Texas had this new law that's right now we got here. From Texas, it came to Santa Cruz. From Santa Cruz, it went to Berkeley. And from Berkeley, it went to San Francisco. San Francisco, I heard, San Francisco mayor is not arresting people, telling police officers to go out and arrest homeless. What he wants is some people to commit crime. And like I heard, it was in the paper right now, like, there's some guy raping some woman around here, around different areas. And, why did I pay attention to that crime? Because that is a crime. That's what I'm saying. We have to ourselves. We can't go by these old laws, because that's what I'm tired of by. Going these old laws that's been raised up in World War II mentality of bombs and more police. And we have to change. We got to get our Constitution in order right now, because we don't, right now, our Constitution is being taken out of us everywhere. Even citizens who have houses, they could go, you know, just take your rights away. So what are we going to do? Keep on reading these laws about 1930 and 20s? We have to ourselves got to get into, not a revolution state, but elect new city mayors, new council, people who want to heal the planet, not keep on destroying mankind itself.
Okay, we have several courses of remedy here. Okay, practical courses of remedy. One is, and I'm looking for a piece of paper, and now suddenly I can't find it, but I just brought it out of my brief of papers, which deals with the remedy that is put forth in the Uniform Commercial Code, which I'd like to read to you per quote.
Now listen to this. Is there a code, right, there's a code right now in the UN. It's supposed to be, you know, like for the people, where people could sleep anywhere. What's it called?
It doesn't mean anything, friend. I tried to use the Declaration of Human Rights.
Human rights.
It's worthless. Under the Uniform Commercial Code, that Declaration of Human Rights is valueless. It is a worthless piece of paper, as is the UN Charter. That is all worthless papers, as worthless as your human, the Bill of Rights, and even the Declaration of Independence.
What I'm saying right now, as you know, as the United States goes on, and if we keep going this way, there's already teenagers right now are being locked up. Early kids that just don't want to go home to abuse families, or just want to live their own lives. right? So they get on these streets out here, anywhere, and they're, you know, in our state sides, and they think they're free. And yet you have our young kids going to war. What are they going to war right now in Bosnia for? So they come back here and get harassed by the police department and by these all new laws. So we ourselves, as the people, the Constitution says, if there's a big powerful army where people could revolt against what's going on, that's what's true. And we could revolt about what's going on in our Constitution right now, because our Constitution right now, it's being taken out of, we don't have a Constitution anymore.
Yeah.
People are not standing up for themselves. They have no backbones. Even people in business are
scared.
If you have your own business, you have the authorities telling you that you can't keep in there, you cannot keep in.
I recognize this is the voice of a man who has stood up for himself. In fact, others stood up with you when you you stood against discrimination at a business locally. I recall that quite vividly, and I'm glad that you did, and I think we need more actions like that. And I think your focus on the fact that constitutional rights, whether you want to call them rights that should be provided by the Constitution and aren't, or that are written in the Constitution but the authorities don't pay any attention to, I think we all agree that those rights are real and important rights that should be acknowledged and are not being acknowledged.
Those rights. That's where those rights right now in our Constitution.
Right.
We should fight for those
rights. And what presentium is...
Because our ancestors wrote those Constitution, not this new 1980 laws or these police states, because one of the presidents in the United States told, listen to this, told Congress not to let the world, not to let the banks in. Any England banks, and after the third president, they came in.
Yeah, the Bank of the United States.
The banks are
been
controlling everybody's
before we get,
even if you're
all right, Tom, thank you very much.
And of course, we're going to be having, yeah, I'm sure you're going to be wanting to comment more on that call. Can you turn down the volume? Thanks. The point, I think, that I wanted to make as our last caller was speaking of young people, is to remind our audience that young people's rights are going to be removed on a wholesale basis starting on Tuesday night. The Board of Supervisors, which legislates law for the County of Santa Cruz, will be meeting at 7:30 on the fifth floor of the county building. They will be receiving a report from the Sheriff of Santa Cruz County, Mark Tracy, that will, in effect, as I understand it, recommend that all people under the age of 18 must be in by 11 o'clock at night or face some form of either criminal detention, civil detention, police harassment, etc. This proposed policy has been opposed by Supervisor Marty Wormhout, questioned by Supervisor Fred Keeley, and originally we were promised by Supervisor Jan Butz that the law would not go into effect, that the policy would not be voted on until there was input from agencies, for example, that concern themselves with young homeless people, agencies that concern themselves with young people generally, homeless advocates, and so forth. None of these people, to my knowledge, have been consulted. I certainly haven't. I work for a group called Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Linda LeMaster, who works for Housing Now, has specifically requested that Sheriff Mark Tracy allow her audience on the issue of how the curfew is going to affect young people. We had a report from a young pregnant mother in Scotts Valley that two friends who went out to buy her milk were hauled over by Scotts Valley police and sent back to their homes in Boulder Creek. They couldn't deliver her the milk that they went out to get. I mean, it was preposterous. This is the kind of nonsense we are going to be facing countywide on Tuesday night at 7:30. I encourage everyone who has an interest in this issue to wander on, march on, walk on down, you know, amble on down to the county building, take the elevator to the fifth floor, and be there at 7:30 when the rights of young people, and it isn't just young people, you got to carry your ID, buddy, to show that you are over 18. You understand that IDs should not be, of course, a necessary part of our free society. If you're doing nothing wrong, think again. It's now going to be necessary for you to prove, a police officer thinks you look over under 18, that you are, in fact, 18 or over. So I encourage you, the listener, to get to that meeting. And if you can't get to that meeting, or if you want more information about the meeting, call the following number. 454-2200, that's the Board of Supervisors, and you can register your protest with the three supervisors who are most intent on passing this. I think it's Walt Simons, Jan Butz, and what the heck is the name of the third man? Tell Fred Key you support his resisting a curfew in any form until the matter is studied, and Marty Wormhout is pretty adamantly against it, without any kind of contact or input from you. The other thing you might be interested in knowing is that the agenda packet, the information about all the stuff that's going to come down on Tuesday night at 7:30 on January 9th, is now available on the fifth floor of the county building at the Board of Supervisors office. Get down there and get it so you know what you're going to be facing on Tuesday night if this issue is one that concerns you. I now return the mic to my patient guest, Presentium.
Another possible course of action in the situation would be to, for the citizens of the county and of Santa Cruz, to put their elected officials on notice. Give them a formal legal lawful notice that if there isn't a proper referendum and so on, pertaining ratification by the people of the county of Santa Fe and the city of Santa Cruz directly, that they will stand for a recall ballot. And I still think in California there's a recall possibility in a recall option for elected officials, which happened in Orange County. Orange County recalled all these officials.
There is a recall presenting possibility. The problem is that in order to get the number of people and signatures involved, it's a very difficult and costly thing.
Then I would recommend the course of, this becomes a little more technical. Deal with them like you're dealing with a court, because you are dealing with a court, your legislative body is, like the Congress, is it creates the legal parameters within which the Supreme Court and the rest of the court system in this country works. So
let me understand, you are recommending that those, are you talking to people who are opposing the curfew, or you were speaking earlier of campers who are facing anti-homeless laws?
Both, because the procedure is the same. We're dealing with the statutory jurisdiction, which defines everyone as a person and therefore brings everyone into it within its jurisdiction. Everyone that's a 14th Amendment citizen of the United States, given the present status of affairs, is automatically a citizen of the United States in its corporate capacity, which has taken over since 1933, and the presumption is that you are a 14th Amendment citizen of the United States unless, until you rebut the assumption. Presumption.
This is a constitutionalist argument that we have, in fact, discussed, not you and I presenting him, but there's another man who will be appearing on the show, we hope, on Monday, though we have plenty of guests. Barbara, take note, I don't mean Brimstone Barbara, we have another Barbara who's going to be on the show this morning, but has not shown up. We also would like to put on the list of disgrace Capricorn and Billy Queeley. Shame on you two if you're out there. Get your butts down to the station. We want to hear from you. There's a man named Ray Gordon who is a constitutional advocate who has, of course, been quite a long-term person on this. He's been instructing people on how to, in essence, distinguish their status and by essentially relinquishing their 14th Amendment citizenship for simply becoming what?
Technically they might say a citizen of the state in which they were born and therefore citizens of the United States with a small U rather than citizens of the corporate United States with a large U.
Now for those listeners who would need more than an hour to really understand this and want to talk to you at length, since it sounds like a rather complicated issue, is there any way that you can be reached by mail, or do you have a suggestion as to who should be contacted to get more information on using this particular approach?
Well, there are several sources here in California. The name McDonald, but where to get in touch with him, I couldn't tell you. But there's basically one avenue is through what we might call the sovereignty movement within the state of California, within the state of Arizona. It's just about in every state in the union at this point in time. And that might be an avenue through which to go.
Address or phone number?
I couldn't tell you any particular.
Let me suggest this.
As far as my own particular contact is concerned, I approach it a little differently because for me, sovereignty pertains to us being here as God. That's what the word basically means. Mm-hmm. The sovereign, 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 sovereign means the Son. Mm-hmm. We're in the rule of the Son, so it means that you're here as God, as a Son, as a human.
Well, presenting what I think I'm going to suggest to the audience is if they want to contact you, they should give me a call. And at some point, perhaps in the next week or so, you'll get in touch with me, and I will pass on to you the names and numbers or contact points, if the people don't have phones, of anyone who really wants to explore this subject more deeply with you, since it sounds like it takes a certain amount of time.
It's a little more technical, because the tendency is to emotionally react to the situations, and the way the situation is totally set up from top down, they're forming a particular procedure so that anything you do other than proclaim your true status lawfully breaks the statutes.
So I think that, let me give my number for all you folks who want to go into this in more detail with Presentium. And frankly, I got a lot of other stuff I got to put on the air, so I'm gonna shove this guy out of the mic in a moment. The number is 423-4833, or 423-HUFF for all you long-term listeners. HUFF, of course, stands for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. That's my phone number, and that's the number that you should call if you want to get in touch with Presentium and get the specifics on the particular kind of documentation you need to present to, in his view and the view of some others, divorce yourself from the obscenities and the laws and so forth. And he wants to say something here?
And to be able to function within the jurisdiction that exists in a lawful way, because then if you have to stand up in a court, and which you may not even have to do, because that requires your willful consent to jurisdiction.
I remember that. In fact, that Ray Gordon is an expert at that. He and several others, like Richard Quigley, Renegade Richard as I call him, have successfully baffled the courts by challenging their jurisdiction in numerous cases, such as demanding verified complaints and things of this sort. But again, give a call to 423-HUFF to get further with Presentium. One last question for you, Presentium. Have you spent much time in Santa Cruz here?
This is a fresh visit after years ago, you know.
Any hassles for sleeping anywhere in the country in terms of cops ever been bothering you under anti-homeless laws here or elsewhere?
Presently, no.
So you haven't actually been in
but
a situation?
I've gone through a variety of other little hassles. Mm-hmm. I can't call it a motor vehicle. I'll call it a car, mm-hmm. because a motor vehicle is a technical term under statutory jurisdiction.
Right, I'm familiar with that too, yeah.
Okay, I have a car which I didn't purchase. I put forth a mutual gift agreement, concordance, with a lady, and we agreed to give a mutual gift. I gave her a gift of something she values, which at the time was Federal Reserve notes of a particular quantity.
Uh-huh.
She gave me a car as
right.
a gift.
Right.
At first she thought I was funny about
weird and eccentric.
Know? Right. So I explained to her, you know, I quoted some statutes and so on, sent her a letter, and she thought about it for a little while and then sent me back a signature on the form which I gave her, which was very simple. It said, I so and so and so and so.
Did you register this vehicle, Presentium?
No, the car
oh,
has
dog.
A,
Officer Jones, arrest this man.
But that hasn't happened in 3 years.
Had you been stopped by the police?
I've had policemen behind me, in front of me, all around, and I haven't been stopped by for 3 years.
Well, give your license plate number so they know which car to stop, please.
Well, I'm not going to give you the plate number. But I'm kidding you, the meaning of the number.
I was kidding.
This is serious. The plate number is AMERICA.
I think I recognize those letters.
Oh, yes. Well, what does it mean? Big mystery. Well, here's one attempt.
You have 1 minute, Presentium.
M means present. Present being God. E means to go out from, to go forward. CA means the soul which lives in the physical body and departs upon death, and I comes from the word meaning nothing. So, we have God, who is a denizen of nothingness, existing, creating as soul, coming out into the openness, human, man, on the planet. So they don't see me.
Sounds like religious propaganda to me. Thank you very much, Presentium. And Ann, is there anything you wish to add? Come on, no. Say something. Oh, she's silent. She's striking me down. Well, listen, thank you both for being in our studio.
Thank you.
We have the man and, of course, the woman who does all the work in the background here. Feminists take note. We're going to now play an interview to give me a chance to clear my throat. Again, we're going to be I think it's an interview from Berkeley. I think we're talking to Michael Pachovitz. You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Our phone lines are open, 427-3772.
Okay, I'm on the line with Michael Pachovitz of Berkeley. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
All right. I guess this is my first interview with you. We've spoken before and been involved together in opposing university acts against poor people and attempts to take over People's Park. What's happening with People's Park, and what is the city council meeting on January 9th that has excited some concern?
Well, the city council meeting on the 9th is going to be to approve in part or in whole or disapprove of a set of plan that the Joint City and University Youth Committee has come together for the future of People's Park in preparation for Chancellor Tian going to the Board of Regents meeting and asking that the Board of Regents permanently declared as open space.
Now, what is the significance of that kind of permanent declaration?
Well, I think that it would be a significant move, or it could be, let me say, on behalf of the Board of Regents, because then we wouldn't be hearing a constant barrage of, well, we're going to build a dorm on it in regard to the park every time the university wants to do something around the city that the city doesn't like. They've used it as a carrot to get a lot of development projects done throughout the years with a threat that they're going to use it and they're going to build on People's Park if we don't let them have development on some other space.
Mm-hmm. So the university, my perception of it has always been it's trying to expand outward like some relentless amoeba that...
Well, it does, yeah. I think that some administrators feel that that is their mission in life, and growth at any cost, whether or not it makes any sense. Mm-hmm. But I think right now what we're seeing is the impact of too much growth, especially in the south part of Berkeley and near the campus. Unfortunately, this is the only open space that those of us who live down here have within the vicinity of the campus, and we would like to continue to see it be maintained as a park. Our notion of what open space is a divergence, I think, from what the university's notion of an open space is. For an example, the plan would call, if we accepted it, for the main assembly area where we hear concerts and where we gather for speeches turned into an athletic field.
And we're going to interrupt this interview with Presentium. He's still here. With Michael Pachovitz of Berkeley, an activist up there who's talking about the very important Berkeley City Council meeting that's coming up next Tuesday at 7:30 to essentially dump People's Park in the garbage can and turn it into a yuppie sanctuary. But because we have a caller on the line, in fact,
the caller we have on the line is the same man who was spoken of by our previous caller, a man who apparently got some pretty nasty treatment that you're even considering looking into the possibility of a suit around that. Hi, caller.
Yes, hello.
Hi, so you yourself were given a rude awakening. You want to tell us what happened in your own words?
Yes. Well, I was parked over on Maple Street by the high school there, if you know that location, by the big field.
Yes.
Where I thought I was disturbing nobody. I wasn't in front of anybody's house. It was quiet. I pulled up late at night, made no noise, minding my own business. At 5 a.m., an officer stuck his hand in my window that was open and opened the curtain himself without knocking or announcing that he was a police officer, and just shining the light in, his flashlight in on me, demanded I show ID and come out of the vehicle. It was very rude, you know, not to have any warning that it was a police officer or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that might be an illegal entry.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did come out, there were three police cars there, just for me, quietly minding my own business in my camper, because a neighbor called the police.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think these neighbors are aware of the penalty that happens sometimes. Maybe they're annoyed by the appearance of a certain vehicle near their house.
Mm-hmm.
But people have been paying $200 or more for camping tickets like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if the people who are calling the police, you know, are aware of, you know, what people have to go through just for that. And why couldn't, you know, people just talk to each other, you know, if, you know, find out who this person is if you don't like his vehicle rather than just calling the cops on him.
I think that's something I've been trying to encourage, both with respect to people who are in vehicles, and of course, you know, you can't afford to buy a room at night, or you're just passing through, or even you just happen to pull over and need to sleep for a while before you go on. There is a paranoia, of course, that's aggravated by the economic crisis. People are afraid they'll find themselves in worse situations, so in their own mind, they separate themselves from poorer people, so as they hope to magically save themselves from being in that status, which is, of course, ridiculous. The same thing happens with people on the streets, street musicians. If you think that a store owner who hears a musician playing a song too loudly or lyrics she or he doesn't like, would go out and say, look, you know, can you move that song down the street after a while because I don't like it, or at least express her or his view, but they don't. Instead, they call the cops, or they call what we call in Santa Cruz the hosts, or the hosts of hell, as I call them, green-shirted gremlins who wander around essentially enforcing the anti-homeless downtown ordinances that were passed a year ago by our progressive city council. Now, you asked me a couple questions. The first question you asked is, do you think that you can sue? Well, you can sue for anything, of course. You always can take a case to court. The question is, can you successfully sue? Like, for example, could you sue to get an injunction against the enforcement of the camping ban, the sleeping ban? I think that's a very good question. I've been asking it for a long time. There was a successful suit against other anti-homeless laws in Berkeley, Proposition O, which is a whole constellation of anti-homeless laws which passed last election, was actually a year ago in 1994, was put on hold by an American Civil Liberties Union lawsuit up there. But unfortunately, the ACLU down here, though they have taken a case or two, have not been willing to go into court to file for an injunction, a broad injunction against the enforcement of this law against anybody. But could you personally sue successfully for damages? And I told you, well, I'm not an attorney. I can't really tell you. Presentium kind of said he might have some thoughts, and I'll let him talk to you about that in a moment. My thought is you definitely should complain. You know, that you should file a claim against the city.
Yes.
And the way you do that is you go down. It's a very simple procedure. You go down to the city hall, and you say, I'd like to make a claim against the city. It's not to a court, but it's the city hall. And it's right across from a library, and they say, oh, okay, here's a form. And then you say, for however much money you want, for damages and invasion of privacy. And it's a relatively short form. You make a copy, keep a copy for yourself, and then the city council, within about 2 months, will turn you down. No question. They will say, fuck you, go to hell, never mind, we don't care, forget it, and so forth. But you have taken the first step in the process, which will allow you to, if you wanted some subsequent date, to file a lawsuit. And that you have made an appeal to the city, and the city has told you, go away. You can also file a complaint with the Citizens Police Review Board. And the Citizens Police Review Board, which is open Monday through Thursday, conveniently enough, from 9 to 1, so it's not open today, can be reached if you give me a call at 423-HUFF. I'll give you that Citizens Police Review Board number. It's also in the phone book under Citizens Police Review Board under the City of Santa Cruz government numbers. You can file a complaint about the officers involved, and if you were a little bit rattled and didn't actually write down everybody's name and badge number, the name of one of the officers at least is on the ticket that he gave you. Now, he gave you a ticket, right?
That's right, and I have that number.
Now, the next thing you should be aware of is you intend to be in town for a while, or you're going to be
pressed? Yes,
Well, if you probably should pursue that ticket. You won't find it immediately on the computers. It doesn't come for another 2 weeks. You got to wait about 2 weeks, and then you go down to the basement of the county building, and you go up to the clerk's window, and you say, are there any tickets for me? And he says yes, or she says yes, and you then will be given an opportunity to go to court in the basement. Don't do it. The first thing you want to do is, and I say this to everybody listening, disqualify Mulligan, John Mulligan is the man who receives most of these tickets. He is a sausage-making, a fine-enforcing city official, in essence, who is essentially just turns out money for the city through this set of tickets. He ratifies almost whatever the police does. He's not concerned with telling you what your rights are. He's not even a judge. He's called a referee. So the first thing you want to do when you go up to that window, and I say this to anybody who gets a sleeping ticket, say, I wish to disqualify referee Mulligan. Is the guy who essentially is the guy who's usually the presiding judicial officer, if you want to dignify him with that title, of the courtroom in the basement. You will then be given an arraignment date about a week or two down the road. At that point, I suggest you give me a call, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That is my phone number, and for some reason, if I'm in jail, or I'm out of town, or, you know, I've been seduced by a bevy of attractive women, please give me a call at that number, anybody listening who fits that description. if any of that is happening, you can still go into what's called your arraignment and plead not guilty, at which point you will be given a trial a week later. You won't be given a jury trial. This is what's called an infraction. An infraction is a California minor offense. It's, of course, major if you have to fork out $162 or $168, which is the sometime fee for this kind of offense, though it varies. You know, you might be anywhere as low as $100 and goes up to about $168. I've heard it's not a minor thing to us at all. If you could afford that kind of a fine, you'd be staying in a motel, you know, or you know, you'd be staying somewhere else. But you will then. Am I going too fast here? How am I doing?
Doing good.
Okay, so in essence, again, the process is wait 2 weeks, go to the basement of the county building, disqualify Mulligan. Mm-hmm. You'll get an arraignment date in a court, probably a week or two down the road. You go into that court, and you plead not guilty and ask for a trial. Now, you'll be given a trial date usually a week later. You go into a week later, and if the cops don't show up, the ticket is dismissed automatically, regardless of whether, you know, the incident actually happened. If the cops do show up, you have to present a defense. And that is where you want to bring in, you could make a motion at one of those hearings for suppression of all evidence because of illegal entry. The problem with that is that if a police officer suspects a crime is in progress, and sleeping after 11 o'clock at night in Santa Cruz in a vehicle is a crime, if an officer suspects a crime is in progress, he or she could presumably investigate, provided they are, if they think a crime is in progress, they can enter a residence if they have evidence that a crime is in progress. Now, that means that they would have to hear you snoring, or possibly see your feet out the window, or be able to peek through the curtains and see the telltale criminal signs of pajamas, possibly. All of that very serious business, as we know, and worthy of the attentions of four police officers. So, you see what you're faced with. You're faced with a lot of shit. And we actually have been fighting this sleeping ban. The next place it's going to come up where I suggest you appear is on Tuesday at 3:30 in the afternoon. The city council has its first meeting of the new year. And what's happening is the city council is going to be considering giving lots of money to a group called the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, a strangely named group which has closed down the only open-air shelter, the only legal campground in Santa Cruz, in violation of its recorded contract with the homeless. This group, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, has essentially thrown everybody into this campground into an illegal status. They face the sleeping ban that you faced every night. And if you think your situation is bad, think about the people under the bridges. I'm not saying your situation is to be sneezed at. Not at all. I can hear from your voice, and I can hear from the way you're talking how it's affected you, and as it should affect you. How do people feel when their privacy is wantonly and
yes, it's distressing. It's police harassment.
Got it. But the point is, at this meeting at 3:30 at City Hall on Tuesday, January 9th, here in Santa Cruz, the issue of the sleeping ban will kind of come up. It won't come up because it'll be discussed by the city council with any intention to change it. The city council has no will or interest in changing the sleeping ban. But it is an issue which you can present at a public forum. You can go up to the mic and speak for 3 minutes and say, I have been arrested under the sleeping ban, if you want to. Again, you will have to work it into the issue that they are considering, which is the question of, are they going to give hundreds of thousands of dollars, or I guess tens of thousands of dollars, to particular group that has kicked all the homeless people out of the only legal campground, essentially in the state, and certainly in the city. Actually, it is in the state. In fact, we found it was probably in the nation, the Coral Street Open Air Shelter. And now the only recourse for homeless people in this city is they have to go into an armory, or they have to go into a church program and get a mat on the floor. Or, by the way, and this is for your information, if you want to sleep legally at night, you do have potentially the option, if you're lucky, and if the churches are willing, go to the Coral Street Open Air Shelter, not the Coral Street, I'm sorry, go to the what's called the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program at River and Highway 1, which is where the Homeless Community Resource Center is. And you ask to, you tell them that you are trying to sleep at night, and you understand that there are churches that open up their properties at night. Only three vehicles, however, is the limit because of the generous city council that gave us that exemption to the sleeping ban last summer. I think you can register your vehicle, get assigned a church, and go park in that church parking lot if such churches are still doing that. That's one suggestion I have for you for tonight, as well as for the very elusive presentium, who also seems to be running around in a vehicle, and is probably we're gonna try to catch him too. We're gonna lead a sleep smasher squad. I think that's the whole point, to make sure that nobody sleeps at night. Sleep is, you know, uneconomical. Am I giving you any help here?
Yes, I appreciate it. I'll try to make it to that meeting with the city council.
Do, and if you...
If that's any good, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I think just coming and letting people know that, you know, what's going on is an important thing. They keep telling us, oh, well, anybody who comes to town, nobody's getting harassed except on complaint. Now, you said it was on a complaint, but were you making a lot of noise?
No, apparently a neighbor called just because of the appearance of my vehicle across the street.
That's what an officer said?
Yes.
Well, actually, it is unusual in the sense that many of the other sleeping tickets I've heard of are in the Poganip or other places where there couldn't possibly have been a complaint because nobody's up there. It's just Parks and Rec having some fun at night at the expense of these homeless people. And the fun they're having, of course, is something that, you know, you read about in Dante's Inferno and is usually reserved for major imps and demons and other bizarre creatures with forked tails. I mean, human beings pursuing these activities need therapy. They don't need positions of authority and, you know, badges, guns, and city support. But, you know, you also try to, if you're looking for a legal place tonight and you're concerned about having a repeat of last night, there are plenty of people who try to do this. And some people are more fortunate than others in evading the police. But you can go to Highway 1 and Highway 9, call the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, 427-2367. I'll repeat that. Got a pencil?
Yes.
427-2367, and tell them that you wish to be in the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Programs. You need to park your vehicle in a church lot. You got a camping ticket, and you also need to go over there and, you know, get some okay from, I guess the guy's name is Paul Merceau, M-A-R-C-E-A-U, Paul Merceau, who I'm, by the way, going to try to call on the air, and perhaps he will speak on this issue generally. Merceau is the man who closed the campground, so I haven't got too much respect for him at this point. He's also the head of the program that puts people in the armories and puts people up in church basements and also okays certain church parking lots for vehicles. The other thing you can do is get in touch with me and help demonstrate for homeless rights. I'm always trying to recruit people, but I understand that people are just generally trying to survive in these circumstances and often are not interested in taking more risks. But if you are, or if you just want to get in touch and get more literature, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And is there more you'd like to say?
No, that's about it for now. I think I will talk to you privately sometime about this matter.
Okay, I think Presentium has a brief statement to make on this.
Oh, okay.
Concerning the, let's say, future perspective of tickets, a course of action. Next time a police officer approaches you in that fashion, and they proceed to give you a ticket, before showing any ID, ask the police officer to show you proof of jurisdiction. And if he points to his badge, just say, well, that's a nice badge you have there. It may be a fact, it may be true, it may be a real badge, it may not be, and it just means that you're hired by the corporate state of California. please show me proof of jurisdiction. And the officer, there isn't any way that that officer can show you proof of jurisdiction other than that badge. That's an unconscionable contract kind of relationship. Because the only way he can show you proof of jurisdiction is if you have put down on paper a very clear, clean statement saying that I grant the state of California and the United States Corporation a clear order of consent to jurisdiction over my life. Since you've never done that, they do not have proof of jurisdiction. So you raise the issue of jurisdiction, and he won't show it to you. So then, when it's time to sign the paper, just put on there, without granting consent to jurisdiction, and next to your name, and you sign it, and then you can put uniform UCC 1-207, do a little research, and you have to find a uniform commercial code, which if you don't, well, you're already on the threat to arrest, coercion, fraud, and usurpation, and you're nullifying the jurisdiction of the court, so you may never even have to appear in court right away. Because if you don't raise the issue, they presume that you are waiving your right to waive the issue.
So there is no proof of jurisdiction.
Exactly. They do not have proof of jurisdiction unless you're an employee of the United States or unless you have put down on paper a very clear statement which confirms a contractual relationship with the corporate jurisdiction of the United States.
Presumably, have you been successful in using this argument in any courts, and if so, where?
I've used it in three different situations. I used it in New Mexico. I used it in Colorado for tickets. Similar to this situation, someone called in and claimed that there was a suspicious car, because I have a place which say America. So a suspicious car in the neighborhood. The police came roaring up the street, and I was on my way to town to pick up some groceries, and they passed me, and then they ended up catching me in the parking lot. So I went through this whole scenario. So then I wrote this on the ticket, went through the whole communication with the police officers, and then I used the legal form which the court has, and I raised the issue before going into a court, before an arraignment, because they're presuming criminal procedures. So I stopped it right in the beginning because I nullified the jurisdiction to begin with, and I asked the court to show proof of jurisdiction, which the court cannot do. It does not have jurisdiction. It only has jurisdiction if you consciously waive your right to do so, now, and they are presuming that you're doing so.
Which court was this that you did this in?
In Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the Colorado court in Eagle County Court, and I did it also in Arizona, the Snowflake County Court.
I'd like to know if that's been successful in Santa Cruz. Do you know about that?
I don't know if anyone has done it in Santa Cruz.
Good question. I know that that constitutionalist Ray Gordon has been tying the court up in knots in other ways. He's been driving without a registered vehicle as well, and he is, you know, using. Not sure if he uses UCC 1-207 as the basis, which I'm quoting here is, when a waivable right or claim is involved, the failure to make a reservation thereof causes a right of loss and bars its assertion at a later date. You have to make your claim known early. The sufficiency of the reservation, any expression indicating an intention to reserve rights is sufficient, such as without prejudice. In other words, the idea being, if you write on your ticket, I dispute the jurisdiction of the court, initially giving some evidence, then presumably you can raise the issue later if they attempt to say, oh, you waived your right to do that. I have never used such an argument. I've never written such a thing on a ticket, but there are others. Obviously, Presentium says he's successfully done it three times. If you want to give me a call at 423-HUFF and talk to me at greater length later, I will try to put you in touch with Ray Gordon, who does this regularly, and I'm hoping to get on a show on Monday, but he never can tell.
Okay.
Anything else you want to add?
That's it for now. Thank you. I'll call you back and talk to you about it.
Do.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry this happened to you in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, it's happening to a lot of people, and I think that I'd like to encourage people to speak out about it also, who it's happening to, rather than just, you know, be intimidated by the officers. that they could do worse to you or something like that. I think more people need to just stand up for their rights, that this is, you know, an unjust law. And if people don't speak out about it, then it gets more power and more people are intimidated just for sleeping in vehicles.
I think that is the core of the issue. And I thank you for speaking out about it. In fact, if you want to be on the show on Monday to speak out about it more, we can arrange that as well. You can either give me a call, as you will, or you can show up at Taco Bell, and I invite anybody else listening, at Pacific and Laurel Streets. That's on Pacific Avenue in downtown Santa Cruz at 9:45 on Monday morning. And, hey, away we'll go to the show.
Alrighty.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. You're on the air with The Robe, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norse, and Legal Eagle, the citizen's man, present him, who, wait, we have another phone call. Oh, goodness, they're coming in like hotcakes.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, bathrobes, man.
I want
to talk about something that I don't think has been addressed on your show this morning. Granted, I've only been listening for the last 10 minutes, but seems like you pissed some people off in this town or something, and all the media in town have these little stories about you now. Whose Wheaties did you shit in?
I don't know what to say. It's all a lie.
If you ever were the grandstander that they say you are, man, you must be eating this shit up. Are you really just a ham?
I am loving every minute.
Really?
You know, my whole purpose is
they're
to get
questioning
my
your motives. I understand.
Hey, they motivated my questions as well.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know, was it the guy at the Java House? Did he just get, you know, pissed off and call all the, you know, the Good Times and the Sentinel and Metro? They have connections in this town. You know, they can get these kind of stories printed.
Well, you know,
Metro was the other one.
I think what happened was, actually, I got to admit that I did attempt to let the Sentinel know that John and Leslie were doing a demonstration in front of the Java House the day after Christmas. For those of you who don't know who are listening to this show, and probably that is nobody, but